You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. We didn't go away. We're still here. Still a lot of off-season content to go over, but this podcast is really about the wild card playoff games. If you know, obviously a lot of our fantasy leagues are over with. We still have a lot to do that. Like in terms of like DFS, still well and alive. Pick'ems, underdog pick'ems, we're doing that. Prop betting, obviously doing a lot of that as well. So, you know, we're still in it. You know, it's hard to stay away. As long as there's football on, meaningful games, we're going to be wagering, you know, somehow, some way, right? And yeah. These walk-off games, you know, the Saturday games, you know, huge spreads in those. Like Vegas is expecting some blowouts in that one. And then on Sunday, you know, we got some closer games. And then obviously we have a game on Monday night as well. You know, I'm used to four games on wild card playoff weekend. But, you know, now that they added that seventh seed in each conference, we got six games this weekend. So six meaningful games. It should be fun.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know, honestly, I know that it's probably just a money grab by the NFL, you know, just to get more playoff games, you know, during the weekend, obviously from going from four to six, but I'm totally okay with that. More football to watch for us, more for us to wager on, you know, more for us to make bets, you know, play contests, all that stuff. I think it's totally worth it. And I think there are a lot of good games, you know, coming out this weekend. Obviously, I think Saturday we'll have a game that could go, I think it's going to go one way. I think it's going to go the 49ers way, but then the game at night at 8:15 between the Chargers and the Jaguars, like we talked about, I think, on the last pod, you know, that's the one I'm kind of dying to see. I want to see how that goes. That's going to be a good game. Nobody hates the Chargers or the Jaguars. Like, you could root for either of these teams and no one would blame you for going either way. Dolphins, Bills, I think I know how that game's going to go. I mean, I'm assuming that Skylar Thompson might get the start. I don't think there's any hope for the Dolphins. You know, I wouldn't, you know, be holding out any hope as a Dolphins fan. I don't think you're going anywhere this season. You just barely squeaked into the playoffs. You're going against the Bills. They're hyper-motivated. They're at home. I just don't see that happening. Giants Vikings, it's a grudge match from Christmas Eve. I think that'll be a good one. Ravens Bengals, I think the Bengals are going to win that one. The Ravens, I think, are in a very similar boat as the Dolphins, where their quarterback situation is a big question mark. The rest of the team could be as good as they want it to be, but without a good quarterback, they're not going to go anywhere. And then also Cowboys and Buccaneers, that's a coin flip for me. And a lot of people, I mean, you look at the box score, you look at the records, you're like, oh, the Cowboys have this one won easily. No. If you watched Week 18 at all, you know this one's probably going to be close. So that's going to be a good way to end the week, I think, in terms of ratings, you know, for the NFL. They're going to be feeling pretty good about having that one on Monday night.
I think so. So, you know, in this podcast, what we're going to do, we're going to go over each game. We're going to talk about all the underdog picks that we like for these games and what ones we don't like as well. And kind of, you know, a lot of it's going to have to do with game script and how we think these games are going to go. But, you know, if you're not signed up with Underdog, go ahead and do that. Okay. They have a bunch of playoff best ball tournaments. The Mitten Four, which was their $5 entry, $250,000 in prizes tournament, that has officially filled up yesterday. Yeah. So they still have a couple other tournaments. You can still do a battle royale for this weekend's game specifically. It's not playoff long, like the gauntlet is. That one is a $25 entry, $1 million in prizes type of tournament. And then the gauntlet, you know, still, you know, a ton of prizes, more than $200,000 in prizes for the gauntlet. That's just for this wild card weekend. So you can go ahead on underdogfantasy.com, download the app, and you can start doing some drafts today. Make sure you use the code UPPERHAND, though, because if you do, you get your first deposit doubled up to $100. All right.
So you get like $100 of house money right there.
Yeah, and then you can use that money to like enter more tournaments and get more entries to like increase your chances of winning these tournaments. You know, also like I'm giving away $100 every single week in underdog credit up until the Super Bowl. So, you know, and all you have to do is just have signed up and deposited with Underdog through me, through UPPERHAND. That's all you have had to do. No matter when you signed up, you're eligible to win that $100. Okay. Let's get into it, man. So Seahawks 49ers, this is an interesting game. You know, obviously a higher point spread here. I think it was 11-point spread. So, you know, this could be a closer game than we think, but Vegas is expecting the 49ers to really do their thing here. You know, I'm looking at Geno Smith and his lines here. 228.5 passing yards is his line. If I had to choose one, I would probably go higher. you know, I kind of like it. Like DK, you know, DK's healthy. Lockett's healthy now. Seahawks are going to be forced to pass. The 49ers have a good run defense. They've allowed the fourth most passing yards over the last 4 weeks. But I think if I have to pick one of his pick-ems, I think I might pick his pass attempts over 32.5. He threw it 44 times in week 15 against Seattle. That was in Seattle. You know, it's like kind of the combination of how you attack the 49ers, right? Because you want to attack them through the air and not the ground. And then the potential game script as well, if we're thinking that the Seahawks are going to be down, right? I think 32.5 is a solid number to choose the over on.
Yeah, I was looking at Geno Smith too, and I thought that would be a good one to have as well. The only thing that kind of, you know, worries me a little bit, I don't know if you saw these reports, but I saw reports that the weather might be pretty bad, you know, for this game. They were calling for heavy rain and some wind gusts that were supposed to be pretty strong in like 25 mile an hour, 30 mile an hour range. I don't know if that's going to affect them the entire game or change the way they want to attack the Niners, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a team versus a team. The weather will be, it's just a factor. But I think you look at this and you can't at least be, you can't not be a little bit concerned about it. For me, I was all in on Geno Smith, a lot of his props, especially the passing yards, until I saw that weather report. We'll see if that changes moving forward. But as long as if it's just rain and it's not humongous winds, I think you're going to be fine with this one. And you don't want to just boil it down to that. But I think that they're probably going to be playing catch up. I don't think there's really a scenario where Seahawks have a lead in this game because the 49ers have just been dominating every facet of the game since they started 3-4. So I think that you could go with that. I'm just monitoring the weather report. I don't have a problem with that bet at all. It's just I think that I would just keep an eye on that just in case, because there are a lot of picks too that I like as well outside of this one.
Yeah. Okay. So this is not your favorite pick. Now, I much rather go with the attempts than the yardage. The yardage is a lot, definitely a lot more iffy for me. So like, you know, in terms of like the weather, it seems like the weather might not be too bad in terms of wind. But yeah, I think that's the thing that we have to pay attention to, whether it's going to be, you know, 20, 25 mile per hour winds. If there is, then yeah, we definitely have to, you know, have concern about that, because it's possible that they just run the ball a lot more. But if it's like 10 to 15 mile per hour winds, you know, it's not too bad. If there's gusts up to 30 miles per hour, then you kind of have to worry a little bit. The attempt, it's still possible that the attempts are there. Still possible that the attempts are there. It's just not the yardage. So yeah, that might not be the best. You know, if you're only putting together five of these all together for the whole weekend, that might not be the best one to go with. I agree. I was also looking at, you know, if the weather isn't so bad, you know, Tyler Lockett, you know, over five receptions, you know, in both matchups against the 49ers, he had 9 catches and 7 catches. And it makes sense, you know, that flanker role that he plays on that right side in the slot, that's where the 49ers' weakness has been, right? And, you know, I think that, you know, if the weather's okay, I think Tyler Lockett, you know, is a lock for more than 5 catches, even with that broken finger.
Yeah, I think that's a fair bet, too. You know, we've seen Geno Smith dial in on Tyler Lockett plenty this season. Obviously, it's DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, but they both get very similar, it looks like, usage, very similar production, and we have them ranked back-to-back pretty much every week, you know, this season, since we've known that Geno Smith is, you know, Geno Smith, and he's not the Geno Smith of old, he's the Geno Smith of new. I like the Seahawks, definitely. I want them to do well in this game. I want to pick the overs on this one. I think that Tyler Lockett can do this. I'm more confident in Tyler Lockett doing his thing than maybe Geno Smith, you know, distributing the ball well, having those passing yards. If he's going to be throwing passing yards, you know, I think it's going to be going to these receivers. I wouldn't really pick anybody else outside the big two and Metcalf and Lockett.
That's why I like to, you know, choose the opportunity. You know, a lot of these props, I love to choose the opportunity props because it's way more easier to predict, in my opinion.
No, that's 100%. Yeah, and
opposed to the production. Like whenever I see these, like, you know, pass attempts or like receptions opposed to like yardage, right? Because if you know, you expect Lockett to get his targets and you expect him to catch most of them, right? Regardless of how many yards he goes for, right? It's kind of like playing in a PPR league where it's just like, well, you know, he has a solid floor because he's going to catch 5-6 balls. It's a similar thing here.
It is, yeah. And I do like the opportunity ones as well. Someone else that I kind of like in this game, going to the other side of the ball, and this was one of my favorite ones. I think this one's kind of like a gimme, in my opinion. And I'm not sure how big you might be on this one, but I think George Kittle, he has a 9.15 fantasy point prop this week. I think he can hit that easily with flying colors this week. Brock Purdy has been playing so well, throwing touchdowns, specifically to George Kittle as of late. You know, he's been using him a whole lot. He's looked much better than he had, than he did at the beginning of the season, George Kittle did. I think that this is a slam dunk pick. The weather would be concerning if Kittle weren't on the absolute tear that he was. The efficiency and production has been there despite the targets not being huge. That's why I'm avoiding the four receptions and the 43 receiving yards. But if he can score a touchdown, like, give me that. That's 6 points. You know, if he catches, let's see. So I'm assuming it's a half point PPR, I think, for underdog. I think if he catches
he just
15,
needs like, what, three catches for like 40 yards and then like a touchdown. Yeah.
The touchdown puts him way over the top. So, like, if he catches a touchdown pass, which I think is a pretty safe bet, the way that Brock Purdy's been playing, the way he's been targeting him, and the way this offense has been performing, like, don't forget that this offense is averaging 33.5 fantasy points, like, not fantasy points, total game points a game since Brock Purdy took over. Like, this is, I think, a really easy one for me. I'm slamming that one in the net, you know, regardless of the weather.
I agree. He scored 7 touchdowns in the last 4 games. And like you said, the reception ones, you're like, I'm not sure, because he's had 4 receptions in 3 of them, right? Three of those 4 games. You know, he went under 30 yards in 2 of them. So, you know, we probably want to hit the over on the fantasy points here. So 9.15 half PPR fantasy points. It's a good matchup against the Seahawks, obviously, as well. Yeah. Right? The Seahawks are one of the worst teams against tight ends. And the last time he went up against the Seahawks, he killed them, right? He almost had 100 yards on like 4 catches and 2 touchdowns. So he has the chance to do his thing. And Brock Purdy, like, you know, you mentioned the weather too. I didn't even think Brock Purdy was going to throw it a whole lot in this game, right? The Seahawks are obviously very vulnerable on the ground. Brock Purdy's pass attempt prop is at 28.5. I think I'm taking the lower here. Lower than 28.5.
Total sense. Total sense. Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell back.
Exactly. Exactly. Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, both healthy, right? Yeah. And the Seahawks, one of the worst rushing defenses. So I can see these two running backs combining for like 35 carries. And if you look at Purdy's last 6 starts, 28.5 pass attempts, he's gone under that 4 times in those 6 starts. So I like the lower on Brock Purdy here. And I just mentioned Elijah Mitchell too. You know, his line, his rushing line is 38.5, right? Like, he only needs like, what, like 10 carries to hit that. And that's if he's inefficient, right? And if you look at his last 3 games, 9 carries for 59 yards, 7 carries for 35 yards, 5 carries for 55 yards. Like he doesn't need that many carries to hit it. Like, he just fits his running scheme so well. Like, I like the over on him this week. If we're expecting the 49ers to go up in this game, if we're expecting a little bit of bad weather, you know, they aren't going to overuse Christian McCaffrey if they go up. I think Mitchell's a lock for like 8 to 10 carries in this game.
Yeah, they're not going to salt away a game with Christian McCaffrey, I don't think. And not that Elijah Mitchell's someone
especially
that you salt
with
away
Mitchell
a
game back,
with
I
either.
Think.
Yeah.
I think especially with Mitchell back, I would say.
Right. Yeah, especially with him back. Not that Elijah Mitchell's like this bruiser, and he obviously hasn't proven to be like, you know, able to stay healthy in his entire career. But you look at his career, his average, his yards per carry is always hovering around high 4, low 5. You know, he's been super efficient every time he's been on the field. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. So I think that you could definitely take Elijah Mitchell some higher props in this one. Because, like you said, if the Niners go up in this game, they're not going to put their premier playmaker in Christian McCaffrey out on the field in the late third quarter, into the fourth quarter, in sloppy weather, if that's what it's going to come down to. I think that this is a good pick with Elijah Mitchell. And Brock Purdy, you know, you talk about him, they're not asking him to do much. This lower pick on those attempts, I think, is consistent with the game plan that they're going to have. I don't see him throwing the ball a whole lot, especially in a high-pressure situation like this. Granted, it's not the worst matchup. It's not like this is a scary team that they're going to be playing. Obviously, Geno Smith and the Seahawks, they have a chip on their shoulder, so that's something. This isn't the worst case scenario for Brock Purdy. It's still going to be relatively comfortable for him. They're not going to ask him to do too much in his first playoff game. I think that having him on the lower, especially given the fact that Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell are back, like you said, it's going to be a ground and pound day for the Niners.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.